You're listening to the IFL TV podcast in association with Lonsdale MTK Global, sponsored by William Hill.
This is Umar Ahmed for IFL TV in association with MTK Global, joined by Frank Warren. The Wi-Fi seems to improve since last week, Frank. Good connection today.
I've got BT to come in and fix it.
Well, I'm here in fight week at the hotel. Liam Williams headlines. It's about time Liam headlined the show as well.
It is. You know, he had that tremendous performance last year, fighting at the number one rated middleweight in the WBO, and done a job on him. That got him into the position to be the mandatory to Andrade. And it's just a shame, like it is for a lot of people, that the virus obviously interrupted the role that he was on. But Border Control ordered this fight, so he's going to have it. It's a potential banana skin for him. It's a tough fight. But if he comes through that, then we will get to that Andrade fight very quickly by negotiation or by purse bid.
Do you think Demetrius Andrade, if Liam comes through this Saturday, will he vacate, in your opinion?
I've got no idea. If I was him, I would. Because yeah, I really fancy our man to beat. You know, that last performance of his, you know, was it last December? That he boxed so well. He looks so comfortable at middleweight. You know, he's had that experience at light middleweight. You know, he's changed his trainer. He lost both the fights to close fights. Certainly one of them was a very close fight against Liam Smith. And he's learned from it. And he seems so comfortable now at this new weight. He's got a great relationship, it seems, between him and Dominic Ingle. So I think this is his moment. He's still a young man. But he's a tremendous, tremendous fighter. And he's got it in his head. He wants to fight anybody. So we'll let him fight anybody.
Talking about the undercard now. Good to see Richard Lahti back in the UK. He takes on Nathan Gorman, who's had such a long layoff. It'll be interesting to see how Nathan performs on Saturday.
Well, they both have, haven't they? You know, Lahti as well. And they've got a common opponent in Daniel Dubois. So it's going to be an interesting fight. And, you know, for one of them, it's going to be about their future. And, you know, Nathan's a tremendous boxer. And remember, Nathan going into that fight against Daniel Dubois was considered to be quite fancied by a lot of people. I mean, Boxing News fancied him to beat Daniel, for example. So, you know, he's got it there. He's coming back. He's coming back with a guy we know who comes to fight. He's quite explosive. Got a good KO ratio on his record. So I think we're going to see some fireworks. But he's a good fighter, Nathan. He's a very, very good fighter. And I'm sure he'll be out to end the year on a real good win to set himself up for a big 2021, I should say, even.
If he comes through and impresses against Richard Lahti, what kind of fights do you think we'll see Nathan in next year?
Got to just be stepped up. He's obviously seeing where Daniel Dubois is. He's seeing where Joe Joyce is. He wants to be up there. He wants to be mixing in that company and in that class. And that's what we'll do.
Dave Allen?
Yeah, I'd make that in a heartbeat, that fight. You know, it's a good fight. It's a good fight for both the guys.
Okay,
he's got to beat Lahti. He's got to beat Lahti first.
Definitely. He's probably give Daniel Dubois his toughest fight. Well, certainly there was a moment in that fight which they were both together.
When they were standing toe-to-toe, yeah. He clipped him, didn't he? Caught him a very good shot. But, you know he comes to fight. And he's dangerous. He can whack. He's a danger.
Bit of a character as well, Richard.
Yeah, he is. I understand he had a lot of problems after the last fight. He's been complaining, so I'm hearing. But, you know, he needs to go and see his management about that. We've done everything we're supposed to have done and done it absolutely correctly. And I'm sure the Boxing Border Control confirmed that if he wants to pick the phone up to him. But he's here. And, you know, let's get the fight on. And whatever problems he's got concerning his manager or wherever it may be, he should speak to the British Boxing Border Control about that.
Yeah, I did speak to him about that today, and he said he didn't get his full purse. Obviously, you sent the purse to his management, and he referred to his management.
Well, that's what you do.
Yeah, of course.
That's all you can do. I mean, that's how it works. We don't do the deals with fighters. We deal with their management company or their managers. And when it comes to the fight, unless we're instructed otherwise, the payment's made to the manager. That's it. And his responsibility is to pay the fighter.
Yeah. Some brilliant news yesterday, Frank. Daniel Dubois, Joe Joyce, we've got a date confirmed. But not only that, it's not on pay-per-view. It's on a BT subscription. So you're going to have plenty of people tuning in for that. Just give me your reasons from your perspective and BT why that isn't pay-per-view.
Well, there's a couple of reasons. The first thing is that fighters wanted the fight. You know, they've been driving us crazy when we're getting it on. And to be honest, we all thought it was going to go on on October the 24th. We all were led to believe that, as the football clubs were, that we were going to have a limited audience, but we're going to have 25 to 30% capacity at the O2. That didn't happen. The fight's still there. Both the guys still wanted the fight. Sky have got 3 pay-per-views on in the course of roughly, 3-4 weeks? We add another one to it. Can the fans afford that? It's tough. It's, and you know, are all those fights, by the way, what you would call pay-per-view fights? I don't think so. But the situation is that we had to make a decision. And everybody was quite pragmatic with what it was all about. We looked at the pros and cons. That was BT, us, Queensbury's, the promoters, and the boxers and their management. And we decided, let's go for it. And we had to, obviously, we're all taking a haircut, but that's what it is. We've obviously lost the live gate. We're not going pay-per-view, but we wanted to do it for the fans. It's my 40th anniversary on December the 1st as a promoter. I've been doing it for 40 years with the Boxing Board of Control. I've done 4 years prior to that on what they called the so-called unlicensed scene, but it wasn't unlicensed, but that's what they called it. But 40 years with the Boxing Board of Control. And we got, so that's part of my 40 years delivering that fight. And then on the 5th of December, we're going to go again at the Royal Albert Hall with another card. So that week for me is quite special, being 40 years and delivering some quality fights. And hopefully we'll have, and I'm quite sure we'll get it sorted out early next week, the fight between Lyndon Arthur and Anthony Yard. We're more or less there. Lyndon signed. I just got to sort some stuff out between Anthony and Tundi. Not had a chance to have our meeting yet, but we'll get that done and then get the fight on and move forward.
It's not a bad way to commemorate 40 years, is it? So you've got, in that kind of space, Dubois, Joyce, hopefully Yard Arthur, and hopefully Heffron Bentley too.
That's done. That's signed.
We're going to have a date soon?
You'll have a date next week for that. We're announcing that. So all quality fight. I mean, real good competitive fights. British at its best. You know, those real... You know, I'm so pleased that we managed to get these on. What I'm gutted about is there isn't a live audience. Obviously, financially, it'd be great. But more importantly, can you imagine what the atmosphere would be with these fights?
Yeah.
It'd be great fights for the fans. Yeah.
40 years nearly in the sport, Frank. How do you see boxing now to when you started and through the mid-range of them years?
Well, when I started out, the only way you could watch boxing was on BBC television. There was only 2 channels that, you know, mainstream channels. That was ITV, BBC. ITV brought a lot of fights in from abroad, from America. You know, some of the heavyweight fights and, you know, Ray Leonard's and all those type of fights were coming on. They were showing them on a delayed basis. BBC, you can only watch the fights. They usually normally took place at the Albert Hall or Wembley on a Tuesday night. You'd watch the fight the next day on Sports Night, which was a Wednesday. And then you see further highlights of the undercard on Grandstand BBC on a Saturday. So that's how people consume boxing. That's how you watched it. If you wanted to see a big fight live from the States, you'd go to a cinema. You pay anything. And I used to put some on, along with a company called Satellite Express. I've done a few shows, but in the early days, it was View Sport, Jarvis Astaire's company, who was Mickey Duff's partner, who, by the way, was 97 yesterday, so belated happy birthday to him. And it was, that's how you watched it. So you'd go out, watch a fight from the States, cinema, pay 20 quid, 25 quid, back then for one. So you're paying that now for pay-per-view, we can have all your mates around, you know, get a couple of pizzas in, some beers and watch it. But that's how it was. And it's, you know, it's changed. I mean, obviously how people watch sport in every way's changed, you know, all different sports, and you know, boxing's evolved, TV's involved. There was, you know, there was no internet, nothing like that in those days. There was no social media. You wanted to, you know what was happening. You'd read, it was in the newspapers, radio, and that was really it.
Mm. So it's changed by quite a lot then, considerable amount, yeah.
Oh, yeah, massively changed over the years. You know, they're all 15-round fights, title fights were 15-rounders. You know, somebody fighting for a British fight, British title fight, sometimes they'd have 20-odd fights, 22, 24, 25 fights before they fought for a British title fight. This day and age, people fought for British titles in 10 fights, 12 fights. That never happened back then. So people were moved up. They started off, you know, having their 6-rounders, 8-rounders, 10-rounders, and went through that scenario. They fought more regularly. I mean, you know, guys fighting 4 or 5 times a year when they started out. That's not how it was back then. You'd have, they'd have more fights. You know, seemed to have more fights anyway back in those days. So it was, you know, it was a different times, different ways to watch it, devour it. But the bottom line was, it was about the fights, as it's always been. Not about who's putting them on. It was about the fights, what you was watching in the ring, because it's the fighters that count.
You've worked with some of the best heavyweights there's been in the game. From what you've seen of Daniel so far, where does he stack up?
I've said, you know, Umar, I've said I'm a big fan, you know, and I'm from, you know, before he was turned pro, I just had a thing. I felt that he's got, you know, he's equipped, you know, he would make a better professional than he would as an amateur. And I felt he was suited to that style. At this stage, I'm talking about this stage of the game, he's probably the best heavyweight I've ever been involved with. And I think he's one of the best heavyweights I've seen. But he's got Joe Joyce thinks that differently, and so does Sam Jones, and we'll see. But you know, as I can only say how it is now, you know, he's a tremendous talent. He's a tremendous talent. All he wants to do is fight. He's just focused on, you know, training, getting into the ring, and you know, all he wants to do is be world champion, not just be world champion. He wants to dominate the division and reign. And that, you know, that's a tough call for a young man. He's a young guy. He's not had the amateur experience like Joe's had, for example. He only had 7 senior bouts as an amateur. So, you know, but he's come through. I mean, when I look the way he's been guided along with us, by you know, Tony Bowers and his trainer Martin, who's done a fantastic job with him, I just feel that he is something special. I really do believe that he is something special. But Joe's no slouch, you know, he's silver medalist. Should have won the gold. I think he got robbed. Should have won the gold. And this is going to be quite a telling fight for both the guys.
Are you certain the winner of that fight fights for a world title next year?
Yeah, I think they will. You know, at the moment, Daniel's in, I think he's ranked number 2 now.
Yeah, just behind Usyk.
Yeah, Usyk. So, be interested to see what happens with AJ when he fights Pulev. If he comes through, is he going to fight Usyk, or is he going to give us what all the fans want, is to fight with Tyson? If he vacates his title, then we know who's Usyk's next fight will be, provided that Daniel comes through, or if it's Joe, if they install him in his place in the WBO.
Not sure if you saw the Sowlands' tweet yesterday. I'm not sure if it was Nissa or Keller who said they want to make Dubois Hergovic, and were kind of slating the Dubois Joyce fight and saying we should fight Hergovic next.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, and I don't believe I am, but I'm sure sometimes I make mistakes. I thought that Joe had beaten Hergovic.
He beat Hergovic in the WSB, yeah.
Yeah.
The amateurs.
Yeah, beat him. He's a silver medalist. Fighting the better fighter, isn't he? He's fighting the guy that beat Hergovic. That's who he's fighting. Look, I don't blame Cali. Cali's, you know, old apples and pears, Cali. I don't blame him for what he's trying to do. He's trying to get his guy going. He's trying to, you know, he's sort of hanging on the towels of Daniel, chasing, you know, mention Daniel's name, he gets some recognition for it. I understand that. But the way to do it is to build his man up. So build him up in Germany. I mean, they killed, by the way, they killed the boxing in Germany, as we all know. But build him up. He may be the saviour of German boxing. Take him over there. Do what Peter Cole did with the Klitschko's and build him up. And what a fight we can make with a winner of the fight down the road. That's the way to do it. But at the moment, Daniel Dubois is stepping up to the plate. That's what Daniel's doing. Daniel's the one stepping up to the plate. Joe Joyce is the man with the experience. Joe Joyce is the silver medalist. Joe Joyce has fought in the World Championship. Joe Joyce fought in the WPSBs, beat him, and he also beat that Tony Oka, didn't he? So that's what he's doing. So, you know, Joe brings tremendous experience. He's a tremendous fighter, Joe Joyce. So he's stepping up to the plate. Young Daniel's stepping up to the plate. And they talk about the sparring. I think when they were sparring, Daniel was about 19. I think, and he only had 7 senior bouts, as you know, as an amateur. He was about 19. And I think Hrgović is, what, a good 6 or 7 years older than him? Man and a boy. And he said he hurt him. I don't know whether he hurt him or not. You know, these big guys throwing bombs at each other. I'm sure somebody gets hurt. Didn't knock him out. Didn't knock him over. And I'm sure Daniel hurt him. I heard it was very competitive sparring. It is what it is. But it's a bit like Daniel, you know, as you know, even younger than that, he knocked over AJ. I mean, knocked him over. That's what it is. But the end, as I say, Daniel's stepping up to the plate. He's fighting Joe, and that's all we're focusing on at the moment. And Callie, you keep doing your job, mate, that you've got to do. Go and build your man up, and let's let the public know who he is, because no one even knows what he looks like. So whoever you are, is Eddie promoting him? I don't know how it works between them, but go and you, and think about all the heavyweights they got over at Matchroom. Put him in with some of your guys over there. Let's see how good he is. Stick him in with one of those. That's what we're doing. Joe Joyce, Nathan Gorman, Daniel, we're putting them all in with each other. We don't scream about it. We make it happen. We do these things. That's what we do with our fighters. We put them together. You know, Denzel, Mark Heffron, we put them together. Lyndon Arthur, Anthony Yard, we put them together. Do the same with your guys. Go and get that heavyweight you got, Hrgović. Let's see how he is. You've got a couple of guys over there. Let's see what he brings to the table.
Can't forget as well, of course, there's a load of titles on the line with Dubois, Joyce, and that WBO ranking as well, because Dubois number.
Yeah, European.
Got a lot of stake. Yeah.
Got British Commonwealth, European, and
the world ranking.
You say that ranking.
Yeah.
And more importantly for both these guys is what it means for them going forward, the winner going forward. And they both have tremendous self-belief. They have this massive belief in their own ability. They're forcing this fight. In an ideal world, we've probably pushed it back, and quite rightly pushed it back. You know, we can't have a live gate. Let's do it down the road. But they've insisted on it. This is the self-belief that both of them have. So you've got to take your hat off to them. You know, everybody's being pragmatic. Like, some people had to make sacrifices to make this happen. BC have stepped up to the plate. So now, let's, you know, take our hats off to this guy. Whoever wins the fight, you've got to respect these two guys for doing what they're doing.
Definitely. Frank, a bit of disappointing news this week, obviously, for Dennis McCann. Obviously, a nightmare to match him anyways. You had an opponent, the Spanish fighter. He pulled out, and then I just guess you couldn't find anyone else to step up to the plate at last notice.
No, we had a couple. He's had a medical issue that's got to be dealt with, and he's not available to fight. He's unfit to fight. As soon as he's pronounced fit to fight, he'll fight again, hopefully early November. You know, we'd have found somebody for him, but that's what will happen.
I didn't know that it was because of him he couldn't fight. Is he all right? What's the problem with him?
Yeah, he's okay. No, you've got to be 100%. If you're not 100%, you can't fight, so he's got to be 100%. But he's okay. He'll be okay, and he'll come through. And we're having that. But he's another tremendous talent, unbelievable talent. And you know what I think about him. I've been raving about him from day one. And he's got that tremendous talent. But what he's got more than a talent, he's got the dedication. He trains. He's in the gym. He travels, I think it's 40, 45 miles 2 to the gym and 40-40, whatever it is, back, the same going back every day. You know, so that's commitment. That's commitment. And, you know, you've got to take your hat off to him. And you know, for me, anybody who shows commitment, they get that back in spades from us. So just want to make sure that he's okay and getting back in the ring, and he'll be ready to go and continue on this, what I believe is going to be a fantastic journey for him.
Tommy Fury put out a video recently saying he'll be out in November. What can you tell us, Frank?
He'll be out on our first show in November.
Okay.
Tommy will be out. I'm really pleased to be out. But I mean this when I say this. Look, we know he's very famous. He's got a famous name. He's more famous probably to the general public from, was it Love Island? And
yeah.
And him and Molly May and the whole, you know, everything that goes with that, their relationship and all the exposure. But he's still a novice as far as boxing is concerned. And I spoke with Johnny's dad and also Tyson. He's been training very hard, but he is not going to be rushed. He's going to learn his trade. You know, he's had limited experience as an amateur. So as long as he keeps fighting regularly, I'm very sure that he'll go on to do some big, he's very committed to go on and do some great things in the ring. So we've just got to keep him busy now. And he's got to focus on his boxing. You know, I know there's other distractions with all the opportunities that came his way because of the Love Island and the exposure he got on that. But at the end of the day, it's the boxing that counts for him. And I know that he's desperate to show the world he can emulate what his brother has done.
Quickly, before we end, Frank, I've got to ask you about Tyson Fury and the chances of him being out in December, regardless of it's Deontay Wilder or anyone else. What are the chances that he fights in December?
But he wants to fight. Deontay, you know, we've been moving heaven and earth to get this Deontay Wilder fight on. It's looking very unlikely. But he wants to be out this year. And we had a discussion again today about it. He's desperate to fight. And we've got to make sure or try as hard as we can to get him out. And I want him to fight this year. I want it for him to be out. And we're working hard to ensure that happens.
But there is a possibility that Wilder fight could land in January. Is that right?
Look, anything's possible at the moment. All he keeps telling me is he wants to fight, and he wants to fight this year. And you know, it's well documented the situation with Tyson in the past, and it's boxing that's really been a focus for him. His family and boxing that's got him really to where he's at now, from a terrible place. You know, with the, you know, to say he's well documented mental issues and so forth. So he's in a good place. I don't want him seeing him being in a bad place. Not about anybody else. It's about him. It's about him. It's about the team. It's about, you know, us. It's about Top Rank. It's about MTK. All pulling together to get the best for Tyson. And that's what we're all working on.
What are you hearing from Shelley Finkel and their side?
Well, they're frustrated as we are. We all want to get the fight on. But, you know, the COVID has basically stopped it. You know, we've lost the gate, as you know, as I've mentioned to you before, Umar, the gate for that fight last February was the highest grossing heavyweight gate ever in Vegas for a world title fight. So it's a huge gate, and they've lost that income. And to get a fight on of that magnitude, you rely on that. That's a big part of the finances. So, you know, just it can't happen without that. And at the moment, as I say, it's looking very unlikely that we're not going to get any big, you know, live gates at the moment, certainly not in this country. And I don't think so in the States. And unless somebody, you know, comes in from abroad, you know, a country from abroad that wants to host the fight and pay us a big license fee for it, we're not going to get it on this year. And that, again, is unlikely because, the travel restrictions and the so-called, you know, the quarantining and everything. So We're not in a good position with it. It's a great shame. The fight should have been on, was it in July?
Yeah.
And we'd all love to have seen that. And then we'd have been talking about something else there. So my prime concern is, as I say, from me, and I know from, you know, the others that I mentioned, we're all concerned with Tyson's well-being and welfare. And that's what we've got to work towards to ensure that he, you know, we keep him in the good place that he's in.
Fair enough. I think that's the most you could share with us at this point. So I appreciate it. And just the last one, Deontay Wilder and Mark Breland, split recently. It shocked the world. Obviously, Mark was the man who threw the towel in that rematch. What did you make of their split, Frank? Surprised?
I think it's sad. You know, at the end of the day, if he fired him, or they split up because he threw the towel in, then Deontay's wrong. Because Mark Breland did the right thing. You know, it's better to live and fight another day. I've seen fighters who should have been pulled out in fights long before, you know, taking punishment, and you've got a brave trainer in there, or whoever it may be, or a brave corner. And I can think back at Jeff Lacy. I mean, Joe Calzaghe ruined Jeff Lacy. They should have pulled him out many, many rounds before that fight was over. They should have pulled him out. They didn't do it. Mark Breland is an Olympian, a very well-respected fighter. And, you know, and I like Deontay. You know that. I get on very well with him. I like him. And I would just say to Deontay, if it is over that, then you should thank Mark, because Mark did the right thing for you. He did the right thing. And if it's something else, then I don't know. That's their business and that's between them. But he did the right thing on the day. It wasn't going to be, and never could have been, Deontay's night. That was Tyson's night, and it was his night from the 12th round of the last fight. He had the key and the wherewithal to beat him, and he did that in the second fight. Just carried on from there, and Mark did the right thing.
Frank Warren, thank you very much for talking to IFL TV as always. Make sure when you come to the show on Saturday, you pull up Dev on his shaped up eyebrows. All right.
I want to see the old eyebrows. I mean, you know, are they drawn on or have they been plucked?
I think they've been plucked, but very well. And your brother Robert picked up on it as soon as Dev walked into the building. Obviously, he hosted the press conference for the first time today.
He's before your time. Are they Groucho Marx eyebrows?
I have no idea what you're referring to, Frank, but made me laugh.
No, go have a look at Groucho Marx eyebrows on YouTube.
It's the first thing I'll do after we get off this call.
I'm sure you will. I'm sure you will. Yeah.
Cheers, Frank, and see you Saturday, hopefully, okay?
Okay, thanks, Umar. Be safe, mate.
Thanks for listening to the IFL TV podcast, sponsored by William Hill, in association with Lonsdale MTK Global.